Michael McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by Nedbank. I'm pleased to welcome a brand new face to the show now, and that's Tawanda Chatikobo, and he's the head of digital channels at Nedbank. Tawanda, welcome to Tech Central, and thanks for making the time to talk to us today.
Well, thank you for having me. Really good to be here today and talking to you.
Now, we're going to talk today about how digital solutions are fostering financial inclusion. But before we do that, I'm keen to find out from you just the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic and the associated lockdown has had on the way Nedbank clients interact with your digital channels. I'm imagining you've seen a huge uptick in usage, but maybe take us through some of the trends you're seeing.
Yeah. So COVID has had a significant impact upon our clients, just as any business in the country can rightfully say so. In fact, globally. But what we've seen with our clients is an increased uptake in usage in our digital channels, as clients have found that they can still continue with their day-to-day banking and engagement with the bank via digital channels. So for example, we've seen significant uptake in terms of our chat functionality, as clients no longer have to go to a branch in the interest of social distancing and staying safe, but they may want to talk to a bank or have a query. They can do that using the chat functionality on our digital platforms, specifically app and online banking. So we are seeing clients make that migration simply because digital allows them to be safe. It allows them to socially distance, but at the same time allows them to continue as best as they can with their day-to-day lives.
And in terms of uptake of digital channels, are you seeing customers who perhaps didn't use internet banking or smartphone banking before the lockdown taking to it now?
That's such a good question, because we are. So like any business that's made the transition from digital, and we've made a very strong pivot towards digital over the past few years, and we've seen a lot of our customers come along with us on that journey. But there are those customers who always wanted to wait and see. Does the technology work for them? Do they trust it? Is it secure? And is it relevant for their lives? And I think the last quarter has seen an uptick as clients have come across into our digital channels, migrated from physical onto digital. But most importantly, I found out that the platforms are not just simple and easy to use, but most importantly, trustworthy and convenient.
Yeah. Now, it's been fairly widely joked to wonder that COVID-19 has done more to accelerate digital transformation than anything else before it. Do you expect that what we've seen over the last few months and consumers perhaps getting more accustomed to using digital channels as opposed to, for example, perhaps using an ATM, which I don't know if you'd regard that as a digital channel or not, or going into branches, do you think that there's been a fundamental shift in the way that consumers engage with Nedbank? And do you think that's going to continue beyond the end of the lockdown?
Yeah, I do. I think there's been a fundamental shift in societal behavior as a result of COVID. For example, we're hosting this interview today, and I'm doing this from the comfort of my home. Yeah. A few months ago, I'd have been in an office somewhere, right? So it tells us that our world has changed, and some of those fundamentals aren't going to go back to what they used to be. And I think there's two reasons because of that. One is it's a lot more convenient for the end user, who's a customer at the end of the day, all right? So let's use a use case of a client who previously might have had to wait until end of the month, go to a branch on the Saturday, fight their way to the front of a queue, do what they need to do, and then continue with your day. That's easily a 2 or 3 hour process. Yes. All that now can be done anytime that's convenient for them via digital channel, right? And the fact that COVID has forced this behavior where a client may not be able to default to physical, let's say, into digital, that can only be a good thing. And with human behavior, once you're exposed to a quicker, simpler, easier, and sometimes even cheaper way of doing something, you're not going to revert, right? So that's the first bit. And the second bit is the increase in security and trust and convenience that our clients have been exposed to via digital channels. With a firm belief that, without disparaging our physical channels in any way, shape, or form, but I believe that convenience absolutely talks towards our clients being able to stick with our digital channels. So I'm expecting the uplifts to continue. And I'm expecting those numbers to continue growing as we get out of the COVID into whatever semblance of the real world will be after this pandemic is over. I believe digital will still be front and center in terms of our customers.
And it's certainly more convenient for customers. I think when you start to use digital channels, you start to think, well, why did I spend all those hours of my life in a bank branch when I didn't?
And that's the most important thing, right? Because banking sometimes ends up being a bit of a grudge purchase, doesn't it? You do it because you have to, right? Now we have clients doing banking because they want to, right? At a time and place that's convenient for them. And that's such an important change in behavior. And that's why I think it'll be sustainable past COVID.
And you want to encourage your customers to do this anyway, because it's good for the bank. It's more efficient, and potentially in the longer term anyway, it's going to reduce your costs.
Yeah, it's good for the bank, absolutely, but it's also good for our clients. And as being a client-centric bank, what we do is to the benefit of our clients. So if we see that our clients can engage this 24/7 at a time and place that's convenient for them, at a cost point that works well for them, they can only benefit both our clients and then ultimately ourselves as an organization and a bank.
All right. So maybe take us through then some of the work that Nedbank has been doing both before COVID hit and after the pandemic during the lockdown to make it easier for people to use digital channels for everyday banking.
Yeah, so that's such a great question. So as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, when I was discussing another point, is Nedbank has been on a very aggressive journey over the past few years around becoming one of the leading digital banks on the continent. That is our stated goal, right? First in digital, and digital first. And as part of that transition, as part of that growth, that evolution, we've had a very, very clear focus on delivering really strong customer experiences via digital channels for our clients. So for example, we launched the Money app a few years ago, we launched a new online banking channel, and now we've recently launched one of the tools I'm very, very proud about, which is Money app Lite. And I'd love to give you more information and more details on what Money app Lite is all about.
All right, well, let's talk about that in some detail. I think when people think of internet banking, they certainly maybe in my age category think of it as banking on a PC. But I'm imagining that most of your customers are actually doing their banking via their smartphones now rather than through traditional internet banking.
And that's a global trend, right? So whether it's financial services or any sort of industry, we know that specifically in the African context, it's mobile first.
Yeah.
And understanding that a lot of our clients are interacting with us and engaging with us via mobile, we had a challenge in our minds. I said, how do we ensure that, first of all, we understand where our clients are on mobile versus desktop? Two, we understand what their biggest needs are, secure and trusted, convenient banking and financial services. And three, most importantly, how do we ensure that we can do this at a price point that meets our clients' needs? Mm-hmm. All right. Which is why we came up with the solution that we called Money App Lite. Now, Money App Lite is very simple. It is a PWA, which is industry speak for a progressive web app. And what that is a version of Money App that is essentially our online banking tool or site that renders on a device, a mobile device, as an app. All right. Yeah. So it's not the same as mobile responsive. It's a technology a bit more advanced than being a mobile responsive site. It is a progressive web app. So it renders as an app, and our clients are then able, right, to download the capability via the Android store, register their details, authenticate, and then do the day-to-day banking via this progressive web app that we're calling Money App Lite. Okay. The advantage of this is that they get full banking capability. So the name Lite isn't to detract from any sort of functionality, not at all. Right. The name Lite refers to the size of the app itself. It's only 5 megabytes. Mm-hmm. All right. So now if you're a data conscious customer, and that's who the target market is for this specific tool, if you're a data conscious customer, you're only spending, as it were, 5 megs to download the tool. Then after that, it's very light in data usage, and you can use it for your full day-to-day banking. You can make payments, you can make transfers, you can buy prepaids. So for example, airtime, you can buy electricity. If you feel like a bit of a flutter, you can play the lotto as well at your convenience. Now, a few minutes ago, we spoke about the previous world. I don't want to say the old world, because it has all kinds of connotations, right? The world before COVID, where a client may have wanted to go either to a supermarket to buy the lotto, or to buy the prepaid data or electricity, right? Or waited to go to a branch to do a transfer at month end. Now with the PWA, Progressive Web App, being Money App Lite, mm-hmm. they download it off the Android store, and they're up and running within minutes, and they're able to do their banking anytime that works for them at their content and at their pleasure.
I was going to ask, do you get this app in the same place, the Play Store, an Android Play Store? It's available there.
Correct. It's available in the Android Play Store. And it works exactly as any other app does. You search for it on there, Money App Lite comes up. You download the app, and then you then register. So what we've done is that we've made the registration as seamless and as easy as possible. So all a client needs to do is take their card, ATM card, and their ATM PIN number, right, and use that to federate, which basically means create the authentication credentials on the Progressive Web app, in this case called the Nedbank ID. Once they've done that, they can use the NetBank ID at any time they want to re-log on to onto the platform, Money App Lite. And then from then on, they're able to then do their day-to-day banking and transact. Yeah. There is a feature that I need to mention, which I think is really, really exciting. Because when you talk about what are the big hits, right? Apart from the small size the capability for a client to speak to a banker. All right, so we have a chat function that sits on Money App Lite. So instead of a client, for example, once again, having to walk into a branch, because let's respect social distancing and staying safe, or a client having to at their own cost, call a contact center, they just simply whip up their phone, log into Money App Lite, bring up the chat functionality, and they can speak in real time with a banker for any queries or any issues that they may have.
Interesting. And can they do that in the language of their choice?
They can do that in the language of their choice. We like to focus on English because that's the business language we like to focus on. But we do have support for Zulu, I know, for certain contact centers as well.
Okay, great stuff. Mm-hmm. Now take me through security around a progressive web app. I mean, you're a banker. Mm. I'm sure security is top of mind all the time.
Absolutely.
Now, this app is going to be installed on Android devices that probably aren't patched. We know, unfortunately, in the Android world, it tends to be the high-end devices that get the regular updates and the low-end, cheapy devices, if I can call them that, that aren't regularly patched. What security measures are around this app? Can consumers be rest assured that when they're using this on their Android phone that it's secure?
So it absolutely is secure simply because we are a bank. So any platform that we take out to market to our customers absolutely has to be secure before we can let our customers use it, because ultimately this is their financial well-being that we're dealing with at the end of the day. Okay. Apart from the device security itself, so for example, if the device is enabled by biometrics, we leverage the biometric capability, whether it's facial recognition, whether it's fingerprints, or whether it's a PIN code, that's what we then use as a first line of defense. Mm-hmm. The second line of defense is your authentication via your NetBank ID. All right. So the NetBank ID is set up by the user. All right. It is known only to them. These are credentials that are very specific to them. So that gives you an additional level of security. So you're looking at two layers of security here that should give an element of comfort: the device security itself, and then the security within on Money App Lite, which is an individual credential called NetBank ID.
Now, how would I determine as a NetBank customer whether I should be using the, can I call it the full NetBank Money app,
or
the light version of the app?
Obviously,
if I'm running a, you know, the latest Samsung, for example, high-end Samsung device, then I'd probably want to install the full version of the app, I'm guessing. But if I'm using a device with constrained amount of memory in it, and I'm worried I'm prepaid, and I'm worried about my data costs, I'd probably want to go for the light version. Am I summarizing that well?
You hit the nail square on the head. So Money App Lite is aimed at our clients who are data conscious, and they're worried about their spend in terms of data. It's also for clients who may have limited device storage on their phones and basically want to be able to optimize the amount of usage or space on their phone. So that's why we have, as we call it, Money App Lite specifically for those clients as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, progressive web apps, it's a term I've heard before, but not something I know a huge amount about. Why did you decide specifically to go for a progressive web app in this instance, rather than to just trying to develop a light application for Android? And what are some of the trends you're seeing around progressive web apps? Where is this technology going?
Yeah. That's such a good question, because when we're sitting down as a team to decide how do we best serve our customers' needs, we had to reach an inflection point that says we want to be able to give our clients the best possible experience and the best amount of functionality possible, but in the smallest amount of space possible. And those are two diametrically opposed challenges. And how do you solve for that? And then we searched around and found out the technology of a PWA allowed us to do that, which then said we can get the full capability. So you have your full security. For example, we spoke about being able to take and use the native capability of the phone from a biometrics and authentication perspective. We spoke about the ability to be able to shrink it down to 5 megabytes. We spoke about the ability to have full functionality across payments, transfers, and value-added services. And we found that PWA was the appropriate technology that allows us to get all of that capability into a very, very small container, in this case being 5 megabytes.
Great. And where is this PWA technology going? What are you going to be able to do with it in the future?
That's such a good question, because where we see it going is, and I don't mean to say this with any sort of hyperbole, but we believe PWAs are actually a very strong part of the future of any digital business. As clients, especially in the African continent in South Africa, as clients become increasingly data conscious, just from an economic perspective, clients are going to be looking for the best possible way to streamline their costs and to streamline the amount of money they spend on data. If you'd have looked at some of the reports coming out from the telcos over the past couple of years, we've seen an exponential increase in terms of data usage, but also data spend. Yeah. So understanding that, I'm seeing a very strong play towards PWAs going forward, not just from a financial services perspective, but anybody, for example, who may have an app that's north of 60 meg, simply because the amount of people in the economy who can afford, as it were, the data to download a 60 meg app is not going to increase. In some cases, it's actually shrinking. So if the market is shrinking, how do you make sure you cater to that need where you're still able to offer your service, but for a rejig dynamic where clients said, I still want the service, I still want the tool, I want the digital capability, but I can't spend 60 meg, I can spend 5. So that's why I'm pretty confident that PWAs will only increase in usage in time, specifically in the African continent. And it won't just be from a financial services perspective, but it'll be across all kinds of value propositions.
Yeah. All right. Now, the light app that you introduced, it was in 2019 that you first released it, right?
November 2019. So it's coming up on its 1 year anniversary. And we initially launched it as a beta version to test, to learn and to understand and to see how our customers react to the technology. And we got some really good feedback from our clients. And that's why we've then naturally decided to grow the technology, to increase the capability on there. Most importantly, make it widely available via the Android Play Store.
Right. Okay. So what are some of the newer features that you've introduced in the app?
Okay. So apart from the payments piece we spoke about, the transfers, the VAS, the lotto, we also have a savings pocket capability that we've launched. So a client can, on the Money App Lite, open up a savings pocket, link that to a monthly debit order to fund that savings pocket, and then it makes it easier for them to save and invest over the long term.
Great. I believe there's also biometric capability built into it.
Absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, so we're able to fully, what's what I'm looking for here, to fully take advantage of the native capabilities of the device onto which the app is uploaded. So if a user or a client has full biometrics on their phone, we can use biometrics as authentication to get into Money App Lite. Whether that's fingerprint, or whether that's facial recognition, we're able to do that as well. Yeah. If a client doesn't have biometrics, we can also use the PIN code capability native to the device.
Okay. I imagine most of these devices, at least initially, won't have that biometric capability just by the fact that they're probably lower end devices. But as we know, smartphone industry, what's high end this year is actually moves into the lower end, mid-tier and lower end devices.
Absolutely.
Maybe in time, more and more of your customers will actually have the ability to use the biometric functionality within the Lite app.
That's correct. So you could say we're ahead of the security curve on this one, but rather be ahead of the curve and give our clients the complete peace of mind that from a security perspective, Money App Lite is exactly the need. It's exactly the tool they have for their needs.
Do you find that customers who start using this app start thinking about their money differently? Do you see different user behaviors emerging? Do you think, I know in South Africa, a lot of people get paid, they go to an ATM, they withdraw the cash, and that's what they do with them on a monthly basis. With this app in their pockets, do you see customer behavior changing? Do you think customers will have to be more likely to keep the money in their bank accounts, for example?
Yeah, so we do, simply because it's more convenient, right? So the use case of a client going to the branch or going to an ATM once a month just to withdraw cash is such a strong one, because the reason they've done that is they didn't have the time, right, to go at any time that worked or was convenient. They had to save this for once trip during a weekend, because it costs money to get to the branch, it costs money to do the transaction, it costs money to get back from the branch, and then it costs money to continue doing this. This is the reason why clients did this once a month. Now, those costs are gone, because that technology and this capability sits on your phone, right? So because of that, you're able to do your transactions and your financial behaviors at any time that's convenient to you. That immediately, just from a cost perspective, brings about a behavior change to the positive of the client. So absolutely, we are seeing as Money App rolls out into the markets that we've designed it for, which is the data-conscious consumers here, is that we're moving away from cash, we're moving away from physical infrastructure, and we're moving towards clients transacting on the app, transacting digitally, but most importantly, reaping the cost benefit and the cost savings off that.
To what extent does Nedbank need to play an educational role amongst its clients? I'm particularly thinking of clients who don't use the app, who perhaps don't interact with the bank digitally at all at the moment. To what extent do you need to play an education role to get those clients to consider downloading the app, using it, and starting to use the features that it offers?
So we absolutely need to play that role for one simple reason, is that we are one of the largest financial services providers in the country, and we have a societal imperative, right? The societal imperative is around not just driving financial inclusion, but driving financial awareness as well. As you know, our payoff line is money experts who do good. Part of that doing good is letting our clients know what tools we have available from a financial services perspective that works for them. at the right price, but also drives the right sort of behavior for them. I spoke about the savings pocket capability that we have on Money App Lite a few minutes ago. And that's our way of allowing clients to simply start saving almost in the spur of the moment. Yeah. You don't have to go through reams of forms and trips to branches and all kinds of statements and forms to fill in. You simply say, you know what, I have a bit of spare cash. Okay, I have the app. Let me save it. Let me put it away. Right. And that's how you start driving that financial inclusion and through that behavior change. And but most importantly, showing our clients that, again, financial services is absolutely for everyone. Right. It's not just for the elite. It's not just for somebody who may sit at the top end of the economic pyramid. It is literally for everybody because it doesn't cost you anything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take anything away from you from a convenience perspective. And the tool is right there for you when you need it.
And as I mentioned earlier, I'm sure the lockdown and COVID has done a lot to change user behavior and to get people thinking that actually they don't need to go into a bank branch, do they?
Correct. The technology is right here in my pocket.
Absolutely. Well, Tawanda, this has been a fascinating conversation. Tawanda Chatikobo is the head of digital channels at Nedbank. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to Tech Central today.
Thank you. It's really good being with you today. I appreciate the time and thank you very much. Anytime you have any other questions, please just get in touch. Happy to chat again.
Thank you.